Hello. I'm just as surprised as you. This is a brand new episode of the Politics Unboxed podcast. Yes, hello, Spotify, Anchor, wherever you are listening to this. I'm back. Returning for a 15 minutes. A little bit of politics news over the Christmas break. Who would have thought it? And I mean, if you're surprised to see me back, imagine how surprised you were when the Liberal Democrats won the Shropshire North by-election. Because I was, and that's half the reason I'm doing it today. So without any further ado, it is Friday the 17th of December, and this is the next episode of the Politics Unboxed podcast. Enjoy. So yeah, congratulations on making it through to the next episode of the Politics Unboxed podcast. It's only been just under 3 months, and then before that one-off episode on the Canadian federal election about 3 months before that. It's not like I took a break. No. Never. In fact, I didn't take a break. I actually just changed format. So we went away from podcasts and we turned ourselves into 2 hours every Wednesday evening. And I'll put the links of where you can find all of my content from the last term's worth of work. Yep, term down at university on our university radio station at Exeter, Expression FM, at the end of this episode. But now I'm back. I'm out of the studio. I'm back with my little handheld microphone plugged in to a phone to record this podcast, and lucky you, there's some politics news that's made me think, you know what, back into podcasts, let's do it. Because yesterday, Thursday the 16th of December, it was the Shropshire North by-election, and, well, I don't quite believe what happened. Helen Morgan of the Liberal Democrats overturned a majority of almost 23,000 for former Member of Parliament Owen Paterson at the 2019 general election to win by just shy of 6,000 votes. The Conservatives have held this seat for nearly 200 years, since 1830. And this has capped off a horrible week for the Prime Minister. It's just quite simply staggering. Now this was quite some result for the Liberal Democrats, who ended up, as I say, being just under 6,000 votes ahead of the Conservatives. Helen Morgan winning 17,957 votes. It's about 47% of those who voted. The Conservative candidate, Neil Shastri Hunt, who was accused of being a little bit absent during the campaign, and maybe we'll come back to that in the rest of this podcast, winning 12,032 votes. A poor showing for the Labour Party, Ben Wood only getting 3,686 votes. But maybe that's to be expected when it looks like a lot of the opposition went and pulled behind the Liberal Democrat candidate, as they were seen as being the more viable person to win the seat. Nothing formal in the way for this election, nothing between the Labour and Liberal Democrat parties, and the Green Party even, to try and say, you know, vote for Helen Morgan over Ben Wood or Duncan Kerr, who got 1,700 votes for the Green Party, in an effort to try and get the Conservative out. It was still every party for themselves, but Helen Morgan, very key in saying in her acceptance speech, she's grateful to the Labour and Green voters who lent the Liberal Democrats their vote for this election. So there is a semblance that there really was a bit of a pull just in anyone but the Conservatives for this election. And you've got to say, based on this by-election, Boris Johnson is in trouble, because finally things are cutting through. We have talked ad infinitum in the last year and a half, the last 2 years nearly, of this pandemic, and even before that with some of the promises that different governments have made, that it doesn't seem to matter what political persuasion you are, you find it almost impossible to get anything to stick to Boris Johnson. He's Teflon. That's one of the adjectives that gets used all the time about the man who occupies the role of Prime Minister of the United Kingdom of Great Britain and Northern Ireland. At time of recording. Little joke in there. Or is it? Who knows? But this time, it seems to have cut through. People seem to be genuinely angered by the actions in Downing Street of almost exactly a year ago. In fact, tomorrow, that party will be a year ago, the 18th of December. And then the actions that have come after it. But even before that, this seat only came up for grabs because of Owen Paterson and the sleaze and second job allegations that have been flying around Westminster, which the Prime Minister is widely thought of to have bungled the response to. That left the door open. That left the door open for someone like Helen Morgan and the Liberal Democrats, who have long since been sort of the party of protest against governments at by-elections because they're so rarely in government. The last time they were in government, aside from the coalition, 2010-2015, that you have to go back to a conference and supply deal, which propped up the final days of Jim Callaghan's government in the 70s. 78-79, that little supply deal was, after Labour kept losing seats from when Harold Wilson won the November 74 election. But the Liberal Democrats, they just seem to be able to pull in an anti-government vote. More so than an official opposition, because then you can be anti-opposition. But the Liberal Democrats, well, they're just not going to be in government at the moment, so they're seemingly hoovering up some of these seats. We saw with Cheshire and Amersham before. But now, it does look like this is starting to hurt the Conservatives badly. Boris Johnson was interviewed today, and he's blamed sort of media bias, and not media bias, but media bubbles around things. A constant litany of stuff about politics and politicians in the media, the Prime Minister is blamed for the result. But, again, if the public weren't interested, the news story would be out of the headlines. It happens. It really does happen. There was a story run in the Times last year about Boris Johnson not being present in certain Cobra meetings. The public weren't interested. It was out of the story, out of the window, within a week of the news cycle. This is staying and it is sticking. It was a week dominated by claims of COVID rule-breaking, and then the Prime Minister's own party started to turn their backs on him. On Monday, the Monday of this week, the Monday of the by-election, it was a massive revolt. 120 Conservative backbenchers saying, no, we won't vote for the COVID restrictions to come back in. And then again on Tuesday and Wednesday, and now again, even through to today, they're still debating, at least in the public now, because the votes have gone through, the restrictions are going to be in place. But in the public eye, the Conservative Party is still fighting with itself about the big issues, and it looks like they're starting to find a common thread of problems. Boris Johnson was disappointed with his party's performance in North Shropshire. I think it is safe to say that large swathes of the party are becoming disappointed and in some cases disenchanted with the Prime Minister. Ian Duncan Smith has said Number 10 needs discipline in the wake of this huge and shocking by-election defeat. The former Tory leader, who led the party for 2 years, mind, from 2001-2003, has told the BBC the government has lost focus in recent weeks. According to Ian Duncan Smith, the Prime Minister needs to show really strongly he doesn't just disapprove, but is prepared to get rid of people who are breaking those rules. Ian Duncan Smith clearly seeing that this pervasive story, which is, well, cutting through. I keep saying it, but it does seem to be, finally, about COVID restrictions being broken last year is damaging the party's image and damaging the leader's image. But Ian Duncan Smith doesn't think it's time for the Prime Minister to be moved on, despite some people being talked up as his successor in the wings. We're hearing almost every day that either Rishi Sunak, Dominic Raab, Liz Truss, even Michael Gove, Matt Hancock recently, being thought of as possibly wanting to throw their hats into the ring if, maybe even when, the Prime Minister steps down. Ian Duncan-Smith says, no, I want my colleagues to stop playing games, the party has to get behind him. Well, that's not what veteran Conservative backbencher Sir Roger Gale said. He described the result as a referendum on the Prime Minister's performance, saying that the Prime Minister has one more mistake left. Now, that, to me, says, well, we've basically decided we're going to get rid of you, it's just a matter of when. Of course, Sir Roger Gale doesn't have any sway. If that had come from Sir Graham Brady, the chairman of the 1922 committee, I'd be calling a taxi for the Prime Minister immediately. But speaking of someone who is influential somewhat in Conservative backbenches, at least Conservative public opinion, Baroness Ruth Davidson, former Scottish Conservative leader and someone who basically saved the May premiership back in 2017, because if the Scottish Tories hadn't come through and propped up the Conservatives' numbers, Theresa May would have been out of a job as Prime Minister after that snap election. She nearly was already. Baroness Davidson told The World at One that Boris Johnson was drinking in the Last Chance saloon. She said Conservative MPs were looking for a bit of a bloody grip. Now, this is starting to look like, far from just drinking in the Last Chance saloon, it's last orders in the Last Chance saloon. Now, the Prime Minister, of course, will defend, and the members of the Cabinet will line up, rank and file, to defend the Prime Minister. But it's been a disappointing result. As much as this is a win for the Liberal Democrats, as much as this is a win for people who voted against the government, it is a major, major own goal for the Prime Minister and for the Conservative Party. Now, this is far more a story about how the Conservatives managed to turn off their own supporters in what should have been a true blue seat. They've already lost Chesham and Amersham. They've already lost two blue wall seats. They could be about to lose a third. There is a potential by-election coming next year for an MP who hasn't yet left the Commons. And I won't speculate, but there are rumours flying around that there could be an element of misconduct involved in that one, which would seem to sway the seat away from the Conservatives. But how did they lose North Shropshire? How did they lose the backing of constituents that had never turned their back on the party before? Well, one Conservative voter, lifelong Conservative voter, Martin Dickin, speaking to the BBC, said he will no longer back the Conservatives as long as I have got breath in my lungs, saying, you can't trust any Conservative politician. Others saying, the Conservative Party, I don't think, have got their feet on the ground. They need to wake up and not bury their heads in the sand over loads of measures. There are plenty of things coming up here. Someone for the first time, Jane Grey, voting for the Liberal Democrats and not the Conservatives, saying, I've never voted Lib Dem before. I've swung from the Conservatives. Children on third level education can't get to any college unless they have parents with a car who can take them, or friends. Proving that it's not just about the national issues. It's about services in the village. It's about bus links. It's about infrastructure. It's about, what's that wonderful phrase, levelling up the area. And the Conservatives lost. Now, I mentioned earlier that Neil Shastri Hunt was the candidate, and he'd been accused of not being present, maybe, in the campaign. Of course, he was present far more than the Prime Minister was, who only made one visit to the seat in the entirety of the by-election campaign, and that was very early on. Neil Shastri Hunt is not from the constituency. He's from Birmingham, urban area, but not really suited, perhaps, for a rural constituency seat. Who knows? But also, he was said to have been hidden away, perhaps trying to just not have to field the tough questions around the issues that the Conservative Party nationally are throwing up for him as a candidate, or perhaps just not with the answers. Whatever it is, though, this is one of the biggest swings at a by-election since 1945. In fact, it is the seventh biggest swing in any by-election since 1945. The Liberal Democrats gained 34.2% on the Conservatives in this by-election. That's quite simply astounding. I'm not quite sure how it happened. It'll take a while to get my head around just how much the Liberal Democrats might well be able to say that they burst Boris's bubble in this election, or by how much Boris Johnson was letting the air out of it himself. But what we do know is that this is worrying for the Prime Minister. This is worrying for the Prime Minister's party, who will now possibly be thinking that he is, as Ruth Davidson says, drinking in the last chance saloon. If the Prime Minister's lost his winning touch, which it might well have been, then I'm not sure how much longer a party that is increasingly looking fractured, not on European lines, as has been the case for the Conservatives in the past, but on COVID lines, on economic lines, on all the things that Boris Johnson was able to put to one side to say get Brexit done for. If they start to fracture down those now, then it may well be time for a substitution in the central role. So I hope you enjoyed that return to the podcasts. I think I'm going to keep them going over Christmas. Not sure how regularly, not sure what they'll be on. It'll sort of just be whenever I see a political story that catches my eye, I'll go, yep, you know what, I'll do a recording about that one. I mentioned at the start that I've been putting some things up on a Mixcloud, and yes, as of tomorrow, every episode of Politics Unboxed from my university down in Exeter that I've been doing on their radio station from every Wednesday between the hours of 9 and 11 in the evening, yeah, I know, some social life I must have, will be up on my Mixcloud, which is rwallace_2001. I'll put the links up out on all the social pages. But, as always, you can get in touch or follow us on Instagram. It's at politics.unboxed. On Facebook, it's politicsunboxed. And on Twitter, it's at politicsu. You can get in touch through email at politics.unboxed@outlook.com or go to www.politicsunboxedpodcast.wordpress.com. It's great being back. I hope you're going to enjoy it. See you very soon for the next episode of the Politics Unboxed podcast. Until then, bye-bye.